Hello everyone, I am Laszlo Fogas, and in this video you are going to see how to upgrade your Kubernetes deployment workflow with Gimlet and GitOps. So let's get started, I think. All right, so in this talk I'm going to present you four deployment setups for Kubernetes. In step one, I am just going to use a regular kubectl apply from my CI pipeline. Then in step two, I'm going to make that a GitOps setup. It's going to be a very naive GitOps setup, but you are going to learn a lot by just seeing how it's done. And then in step three, I'm going to make that a real GitOps setup with a declarative environment. And then I'm going to scale that setup in step four with multiple applications, environments, teams, and see how you can done it in large scale. All right, and in this talk, I'm going to use Gimlet, which is an open source tool I made, where I packaged all the workflows and best practices I used as a consultant. And it's going to be helping you to implement GitOps at your own company. So let's get started. And first with step one, kubectl apply. I made a GitHub project with GitHub Actions workflows. And this one in particular is for kubectl apply. This project is public, so you could fork it and you can take it home and you can try it on your own projects. There is nothing remarkable in this GitHub Actions workflow. Basically, we check out the code, set up some basic Docker building stuff, we log into the container registry, and then we build a Docker image, push it, and we take the manifests from the manifests folder and we apply it on the cluster. It's quite regular. There is not much to talk about here, except one cool thing, which is that I embedded a cluster, a Kubernetes in Docker cluster, which is a very easy way to set up. It's a single one-liner GitHub action. And you can see it in the logs, how the cluster is starting up. And once it is up, I was able to use this throwaway cluster to just get the context, print it out, and apply my YAMLs. So nothing remarkable here, but still it's functional, and this is what most people do. I even have some templating in this manifest where I replace the git sha with the image tag. So so that's it, and this is our starting point. And now in step two, let's make this workflow GitOps based. So I made another workflow called step two, naive GitOps setup. If you scan through the pipeline, it's rather similar than before. We start with checkout, we build a Docker image and so on. But instead of deploying to Kubernetes directly, I actually do something differently. I am fetching a Gimlet CLI, which is a little tool I was talking about, and I check out the GitOps repository. Now, there is a bunch of questions around how to store your manifests, how many GitOps repositories should you have, how do you structure folders inside your GitOps repository. I'm trying to introduce conventions, and I also provided tooling, the Gimlet CLI, which operates within these conventions. So step two, the naive GitOps setup, it's different from previously. Instead of deploying to Kubernetes, I am checking out the GitOps repo and I write manifests to it. Now, there is this little convenience feature of Gimlet. Gimlet GitOps write, it takes some input files or folders, and it needs some information about what you are trying to write to GitOps repo and where the GitOps repository is. And here I'm just saying that this is going to the staging environment. The application name is Fosdem 2021. This is the path of my checked out GitOps repository, and I'm providing a little release log as well. I'm releasing GitHub SHA version. And at the end, I am pushing to origin main, which in turn is creating the files in the GitOps repository. Now I have the GitOps repository also on GitHub and it's publicly available, so you could follow along this example. As you can see, the folder structure is rather simplistic, but actually this folder structure allows you to do quite a lot. So First comes the environment name and then the application name. And in here you find the typical deployment and service YAMLs like previously. And templating works just like before. As before writing to GitOps, I was creating a temporary file with the templated versions. So this is step two, where I am directly writing the GitOps repository from CI, and for that I'm using the Gimlet CLI. This wasn't a big effort at all, and even with this very naive approach, you get the core properties of GitOps. You store your desired cluster state in Git under version control. You also have a Git interface. You can interact with it just like with any other source code repositories, and you get the benefits of an audited trail of changes. So that's really cool that with this little effort, we get all these nice properties. One downside of this setup is that you are still working in the concept of CI, in the boundaries of CI, so pipelines are rather static when you want to implement more complex features, rollbacks, preview environments, cleanups for that notifications. Your CI pipeline tends to spin out of control, both in size and maintainability, and you also don't have like a centralized control of your pipelines. Each of your projects have its own workflow. It didn't require much work to set up GitOps, and you get the core properties, but it's actually quite a high cost on the conceptual load, because GitOps requires a paradigm shift. Previously, you were able to deploy to Kubernetes just by running your CI job, and you knew that once your CI job finished, your deployment is done. Now you have to add some additional machinery, because now all the manifests are in the GitOps repo, but it has to go to the cluster. And you know, for that you can use the common GitOps tooling out there. Gimlet uses Veeve Flux under the hood, and it works quite well, but you know, it doesn't come natural to people to have this extra step, an extra indirection in their workflows to have basically the same functionality. But let's make this this machinery and additional cognitive load worthwhile in step three. Okay, this is where it gets interesting. For step three, I made another workflow file called declarative GitOps. This file almost looks exactly like step two, but instead of using my homegrown templating solution, I changed two lines. I am using a new command called gimlet manifest template, and I'm feeding in a mysterious gimlet / staging YAML file. Everything else is the same, so gimlet gitops write will write the output of the template command into the GitOps repository, but what's inside this staging YAML? Well, let's find out together, but you could make some guesses that staging YAML is capturing all things there is to be captured about an environment. What to deploy, what configurations, what secrets perhaps, and yeah, everything is in one single file. So let's look into that. I mentioned before that I'm dropping the homegrown templating that I used, and instead of that, I need some templating, and I chose Helm for Gimlet. Helm is everywhere, and people know Helm quite well, and the templating part I like a lot. So this file defines the environment, the name, what environment it is, and what namespace to deploy it to. Then I am pinning the deployment to a chart and to a chart version. And I'm also capturing here the Helm chart values that are going to be used. And basically, this allows me to store application configuration inside the application source code repository, which is a very powerful concept. So this single file combines a Helm chart with values and some naming information. One last thing to mention here is the OneChart Helm chart. Now, OneChart is also a Gimlet side project. It allows you to have a microservice deployed without writing any specific or special Kubernetes YAML. It tries to mimic the behavior of companies where, you know, one team is spearheading the Kubernetes effort, they write the Kubernetes manifest files, and everybody else is sort of piggybacking on this this hard-earned best practices YAML file. And people or and companies usually have like a best practices Helm chart, like how do you deploy an application, a microservice to Kubernetes, and OneChart is basically doing just that, give you a good starting point. Whether you need to define an ingress or a volume or an environment variable, it has very good support for all the typical deployment use cases. Just as a recap about why am I so excited about the environment file is it because it declaratively captures everything related to deployment and an environment, be that staging, production, or any other QA environment you have within your application source code. It's like, you know, if you need a new environment, well, you just add a new environment file. If you need to change some environment variable, well, you can change it in your application source code, make a pull request just like with any other code changes, and you can have the same review process with your team. Since the Helm chart is defined in the environment file, you could also distribute the best practices in a version form within your team. So if you have a chart version 1.0 that you are using and you want to use the new features provided in 1.1, well, you just bump the chart version in a pull request and you can utilize the new features. Are there any drawbacks? Since we pushed down the application configuration and the environment configuration to the source code repositories, you kind of missing out on perhaps on a centralized control of your environments. So if you have a new, or if you have a change in a DNS name or you have changed in a DB password maybe, then you have to either have some automation to handle or your application source code repositories, or you have a communications problem at your hand to follow through with your team. And perhaps another drawback is that you are still working within the boundaries of your CI engine. So if you have a new environment, perhaps you have to add a new environment GitOps write step in your CI. And, you know, all this is a little bit cumbersome to constantly edit that YAML file. And actually, in step four, when we are going to scale GitOps, we are trying to break out of this paradigm a little bit. But before that, I want to show you something which is becoming very easy with the environment file concept, that is preview environments. As usual, I created a new workflow file for the preview environments. If you scan through this pipeline, you will not notice a lot of changes. The only thing noticeable is that I'm using a preview.yaml file instead of staging.yaml, and I introduced here a new variable in the application name. I am concatenating the branch name to the FOSDEM 2021 name to avoid a naming collision. Because preview environments, in essence, are really naming questions, and implementing them becomes trivial with the Gimlet environment file. So let's look into the preview.yaml file. Here you will only notice again the same change that I am making the names unique, and with this little change, all the environment names becoming dynamic, and also in the GitOps repository, they will have their unique name and manifest files, so as in Kubernetes as deployment. You can also notice that I'm using a different environment here called preview instead of staging, and the application name has the postfix. The good things about these environment names that these are logical environment names, and you can map them to a different to any cluster or even namespace. So the actual physical landscape of your cluster doesn't affect the GitOps folder structure. So this is where we are right now. This is a natural breaking point because this is what Gimlet CLI can do today, which you can get yourself on gimlet.io. You can download it and you can use it on your laptop or in your CI. Now we can continue going forward to see how to scale this GitOps setup to a larger scale. But for that, we have to break out from CI. This work is not yet done in Gimlet. This is the design for upcoming features. So this is what we have been doing so far. code change comes in, CI runs, and then in turn it writes the manifest to the GitOps repository. And then as a detached process, Kubernetes has a GitOps controller which pulls the GitOps repository for changes and applies it on the cluster. It still lives in CI. There is no central control. It's not easy to share functionality between CI processes, even though you can factor it into factor the logic into plugins. It still requires a code change to wire in a new rollback process, or if you want to add the new workflow to roll out to a new QA environment. So CI is rigid, pipelines are predefined, and there's only so many things you can stuff into to your already very lengthy pipeline files. And there's one more problem that I haven't mentioned before, is that if you try to write the GitOps repository from CI and you pull it down and then you make the change and you try to push, if you have many CI processes running in parallel, you inevitably run into collisions. These are usually not conflicts that you have to resolve manually, but still you have to have a retry logic and wait until one of your pushes succeed. With Gimlet, I am introducing a new component soon, which is Gimlet D, which is a server-side component, which will try to take care of all the GitOps repository write actions, and it runs independently of CI. Now, how this is achieved is that with CI, you know, code change will still come in, but instead of CI writing the GitOps repository directly, I introduce another indirection that CI writes into an artifact store. It writes a deploy artifact, meaning any releasable software version will have an artifact file, which is a JSON schema with the meta information that's required for release later on. So CI will write this artifact store, which if Gimlet D notices an artifact which is matching some deploy policies be that every artifact made from a master from a certain repository should go to staging or production, then Gimlet D will automatically trigger and write the GitOps repository. The rest of the process will remain the same. GitOps controller will pull from GitOps repository. And with this abstraction introduced, we will have very nice properties, a list of releasable artifacts. We will be able to rewire workflows should we want to change the policies that we introduced. And you will have possibilities to run on-demand deploys because Docker image will be available. The release artifact is already made, so we know every information for a possible release, and you can just promote one artifact from one environment to the other. So this is the proposed design. It's going to unlock a lot of advanced features, and it's going to add flexibility for your release processes. And basically, all release logic will be factored out from CI. You will have much more possibilities to define maybe advanced access control lists, like who is able to deploy to production on on-demand fashion. And these policy-based deploys are going to be very clear and concise in what they are doing. All right, so since Gimlet D is not yet implemented, it's open on GitHub already, and I try to make every decision like this documented, and the implementation will happen through pull requests and issues, so you can really follow along if you want to, and even contribute if you like. And so that was that. Gimlet.io is the name of the website of the project, and I'm looking forward to implement many more things. So Gimlet CLI is out there. You can go and just start using it from today, from your CI or laptop. Gimlet D is coming for advanced workflows, and in the near future, also a UI will arrive into Gimlet, which will be tailored for application developers instead of the common state of the art of the industry that Kubernetes dashboards are mostly for cluster administrators. Gimlet is made for developers, so I'm hoping that you are going to have good use of Gimlet. And yeah, thanks for listening. And if you have any questions, just hop over to the breakout room.